Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Should we pardon Julian Assange? Some breaking news of Julian. His brother, Gabriel, joins us. How do we unshackle the American middle class? Jeff Webb joins the program as we discuss. Become a member of the Charlie Kirk Show today at members.charliekirk.com. Here, you'll see that we give you exclusive content and insight. If you want to be able to ask me a question every Friday, only members can do that. That is members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That is Charlie Kirk Show. And get involved with the most important organization in the country, Turning Point USA, at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Gabriel Shipton, brother of Julian Assange. Lots of Assange news right now. Breaking from The Guardian, Assange wins temporary reprieve in case against extradition to the United States. Gabriel is film producer of Ithaca, and he's been on the program before. Gabriel, welcome back to the program. Please share the latest.
Yeah, good to be with you, Charlie. So there was a judgment handed down today in the UK courts, which really gives Julian another chance, lives to fight another day, essentially. What it said is it's given the U.S. prosecutors a 3 weeks to issue what the court is asking for, assurances. And those are assurances that Julian will not receive the death penalty for his work as a journalist if he's extradited to the United States. Also that he is entitled to First Amendment protections if he is to be extradited, and that his freedom of expression rights will also be protected. So really what the court has done is give the U.S. prosecutors here, the Biden administration, a chance to fix up their case with these diplomatic assurances. And, what's really bizarre about it is that the UK courts have actually acknowledged that the Biden administration and its Department of Justice was potentially pursuing a death sentence for the work that Julian did, publishing these leaks, doing journalism, doing what every other publisher around the world does every day, taking this classified secret material and giving it to the public. So I think the court has seen how outrageous this prosecution is, but also given the chance, given a chance to the Biden administration to correct that, so that they could still potentially extradite Julian in 3 weeks' time.
So I want to just kind of get to the Wall Street Journal also had this last week, quote, that the U.S. Department of Justice is considering whether to allow Julian Assange to plead guilty to a reduced charge of mishandling classified information, according to people familiar with the matter, which could eventually result in his release from a British jail. The Wall Street Journal says it is to end a 14-year legal drama. What can you tell us about this?
Well, Julian's U.S. lawyers, Barry Pollack, came out at the time and said he hasn't had any contact with the Department of Justice. There's been no deal offered to Julian, and that the DOJ is actually doing the opposite. They're continuing to pursue the extradition of Julian Assange to the United States. So I think what I make of it is that this has become a real political hot potato for the Biden administration. The last thing they want during election season is just rocking up in the Eastern District of Virginia in chains another massive First Amendment case in the United States would not help the Biden administration during election year. And I think they're putting out these sort of, they're almost front running the UK courts by putting out this sort of interest in a plea deal or a resolution, pushing it back on Julian in a sense. But I think what's really important about this case is that, you know, it's been going on. Julian will be in jail for now 5 years on the 11th of April. That's 5 years. He's not serving a sentence. He's never been charged in the United Kingdom with any offence. So what we're seeing here is this sort of washing, you know, using the UK legal system to wash a prosecution that really turns the First Amendment into a very much, much a walled garden in that sense that, you know, it's okay, you can have your First Amendment rights, but you cannot, you know, report on national security. You know, areas of investigative journalism are very limited. And they're using the UK to really wash that and so that they don't have the domestic blowback if they were doing it in the United States to a US journalist.
So the I know that you've done this so many times, Gabriel, and you did this prior on the program. I think it is worth repeating in about 3 to 5 minutes the backstory here, because it's just been so long. We have some younger viewers, too, that were literally 5 or 6 years old when this saga started. What has the American government accused Assange of? And do you think politics are at play here regarding WikiLeaks and certain families that might have been displaced from power? What? So just walk us through kind of a quick backstory.
Well, Julian founded WikiLeaks in 2006. WikiLeaks was a organization that really disrupted mainstream media. They took a lot of, they sort of decentralized leaking in a sense. They took the leaks away from mainstream media and sort of published them for everyone so that there could be more transparency and more reporting on leaked information. And they really came to prominence in 2010, 2011. When they published the leaks that were leaked by Chelsea Manning. And those were related to the Afghanistan war logs, you know, undocumented deaths in Afghanistan, the now famous helicopter gunship video in Iraq of a helicopter gunship mowing down two Reuters journalists, as well as some civilians, diplomatic cables from around the world. And it was really those publications that really upset the, you know, the military-industrial complex, as well as the intelligence organisations. And that's when Julian, the pursuit of Julian, really began. And that was about 13, 14 years ago. And he's been detained one way or another ever since. Now, in 2016, WikiLeaks famously published the Clinton emails, the Podesta emails, and those were, you know, at the time, you know, it was in the lead up to the 2016 election, and they were seen, they really showed the corruption inside the DNC, you know, how the Clinton campaign conspired with the DNC to take the Democratic nomination from Bernie Sanders.
A lot of people say, Charlie, do you think that Julian Assange should be pardoned? I say, of course he should. Day one. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. You got to pardon him. The American people don't care about this. By the way, handling a classified information, how is this any different than the Pentagon Papers? You're going to try to destroy a guy's life? No, they're trying to make it a symbol. By the way, this is D.C. psychopathic behavior at its finest. Only D.C. insiders care about this. Only D.C. insiders care about Julian Assange being held accountable. He's a journalist. They've been obsessed about this for more than a decade. This is all military-industrial complex stuff. It is a show trial of a journalist that dared to try to expose the lies and the deception of the military-industrial complex. These are leaks straight from the military machine. Therefore, a threat to the globalist cabal. If Trump wins, it's got to be 1, 2, 3. It's got to be Assange, Snowden, Ulbricht. 1, 2, 3. Pardons across the board. Gabriel, 1 minute remaining. What's the call to action here?
The call to action. So we're asking people to contact their Congress people. There's a resolution, a bipartisan resolution with Paul Gosar, Thomas Massie, Rep. Jim McGovern, all leading this resolution. It's resolution 934. We're asking people to get in touch with their Congress people, ask them to co-sponsor and support that resolution. It's a House resolution in the Congress there. So that's the main call to action. Get in touch with your congressperson and ask them to support House Res 934.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gain this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. So, Gabriel, what is it about the military-industrial complex? There seems to be a fascination, an obsession with Julian that is unlike any other journalist exposing any other industry where they have an attachment to this case. What is your take, Gabriel?
Well, I mean, Julian really took the mask off the military-industrial complex and how they, how they were part of a conspiracy with the legacy media to really sell people wars, populations. Julian famously said that people don't like wars and they have to be convinced, and lied to in order to support them. And what WikiLeaks and Julian did was really, rip the mask off that conspiracy between the military industrial complex, the government and the media, exposing them for what they are, this incredible machine that drives war, that drives conflict all around the world. And he disrupted their business model, in incredible fashion, like had ever been done before. And so they see him, as a threat to their power, as a threat to how they survive, how they make their money. And so they're coming after him, and they're coming after him in a incredible way, in a way that has an incredible amount of hubris and recklessness to the institutions of the United States, such as the Department of Justice and the CIA. Those institutions totally weaponized against Julian, as well as the UK justice system, which is sort of the jailer in a sense, in this sense, they're meeting out the punishment to Julian, setting this example, showing that, if you do this sort of thing, if you expose us, that we can just take away all your rights and lock you in a prison without a sentence, without a charge in the country that you're in, that they can reach anywhere around the world and pick you up. Doesn't matter how famous you are, doesn't matter what sort of profile you are, you have, and keep you in a jail indefinitely. And it's just a massive flex, and it's an example to everyone out there who might think about exposing this system for what it is.
And that's really the point, is they want to try to demonstrate the ferocity the regime is willing to use against anyone that would dare tell the truth or spread the truth. And are there other instances, Gabriel, about 2 minutes remaining, you could point to where other journalists did similar activity and they didn't meet the full force of the American justice system?
Yeah, well, I mean, you just have to look at the New York Times, who published the exact same information, that Julian is in prison for. So, you have the New York Times, the Washington Post, all publish the same information that Julian is in prison for, and you know, are not receiving any. Their publishers are fine. You know, they're probably sitting in their mansions, sipping on martinis, warming their feet, by their fireside. So, I think that really shows. That's another exposure, really, of how these media corporations, how legacy media works hand in glove, with the government, with the military industrial complex, to sell us these wars that keep getting pushed on us. So I think that's a real exposure in this case. It's not just these institutions who are corrupted, but exposing the fact that these other media organizations haven't been pursued because they're not a threat to power.
Gabriel, thank you so much. One more time, the call to action to our audience.
Call your congressperson, ask them to support House Resolution 934. We've got 9 co-sponsors on it. We're hoping to get to 20. I know there's a lot of Congress people in Congress who want to support Julian, but they might need that extra push from their constituents. So give them a call, go and see them, send them an email.
Very good. Gabriel, thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Charlie.
Jeff Webb, who is the CEO of the Human Events Media Group, which our audience would appreciate because Jack comes on the program a lot and he's got Human Events Daily. So Jeff is also one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the country and is the man behind Varsity Brands. And so I want to talk about this just from not even a political standpoint, the idea that the New York State government can fine you what they're fining Trump. There is no victim. There was nobody that was, that was defrauded. And then on top of that, the potential seizing of assets to post the bond. Jeff, as a business guy, would you ever do business in New York?
Boy, you'd have to really think about it. I mean, if you had a choice right now, no, of course not. I mean, because this is just the beginning. Is this a precedent? Are we going to be able to see this anytime somebody is on the political hit list?
Yes.
Is the government going to file a lawsuit against you? Are they going to take your documents when you borrow money? Are they going to determine if you accurately described your collateral and then seize your assets, and especially at the level they're talking about?
Yes.
Which, sir, it's just to, it's make it difficult to appeal, and it's all punitive. It's scary, and it has incredible ramifications that people don't realize. People, this is happening to Trump and everybody. But this could have serious implications.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is there chatter in the business world about this, even from a non-political standpoint, that you've been hearing?
It's mostly just like, can you really believe this? They're still not,
Well, they better believe it because it's real.
Which state you're in. And, you're right. They better because it is real.
Yeah, and so it also, to be in the country right now where you could be a former president, you could build a multi-billion dollar company and basically effectively have it taken away from you.
Right.
I mean, that at its core destroys the incentive structure of why even create business in the first place. If you can't keep your stuff and pass it down to your kids, I mean, this is a fundamental economic truth.
Yeah, look, if this had been about the fact that Trump had not paid his taxes, or if he really had inflated the value of his collateral, that would be something different if it was fraudulent. But it's not. At the end of the day, he put up, like we all do. If you're in business and you're building a business and you're borrowing money for capital to make things grow, you're going to say, here's the value of what I've got. I'd like to borrow money against it. At the end of the day, Charlie, I mean, it's really the responsibility of the banks that are loaning you the money collateral is accurate.
And obviously the collateral is valuable because now the New York Attorney General says, I'm going to confiscate your stuff that you said isn't valuable. And you know this, in real estate, prices are very, very – they
right.
fluctuate based on markets and how badly you want the piece of property. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Well, and do you think with the type of money you're talking about, do you think the banks that he's borrowing money for are going to look at that and just go, yeah, surely that's worth that much money. No, they do due diligence.
Underwriting.
Of course, they do due diligence.
You can't buy a home without them doing a market analysis and having comps.
Yeah, compare it to other things that have sold, get the idea. They usually give you 80% of the value, and away you go. So, the problem here, I mean, what is that real estate worth? Exactly what somebody will pay you for.
Well, that's exactly right.
That's what it's worth.
The real estate might be worth less now that New York is going down the gutter. But, for example, to own one acre in Miami Beach right now is, what, probably $25 million?
Unbelievable.
To have...
Try to buy a house on the water there.
Right, or have 1 acre in Sioux City, Iowa.
Right.
You could probably get it for $75,000.
Exactly.
So, but they're both an acre. Value is on geography based on... But hey, if it was on Sioux City, Iowa, and they were on oil, then it's $75 million.
That's right.
Right? So, yes. But the just from an entrepreneur standpoint, I mean, you've had great success and, you know, great exits and all that. Imagine building a business in this environment. It would be so demoralizing. Imagine the next entrepreneur in New York. They're probably not in New York anymore. They're probably in Tampa.
Yeah, they're looking for a place where they've got some protection. They're looking for a state government where they have some protection.
Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship, and they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on this topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with their family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at charlieforhillsdale.com. So Jeff, you've been talking for quite a while about the middle class, and you've really been ahead of this. And for years, we've been talking about it, and it has been prophetic, I really believe that, about how the middle class is losing its purchasing power. And we haven't dialogued for a little while. Look at the last year and a half with just inflation alone, which is a tax and an erosion of wealth. The middle class is ceasing to exist. We basically have an oligarchy and a government-dependent class. This idea of a well-heeled, well-capitalized, strong middle class is quickly evaporating in front
right.
of our eyes.
Well, that's the socialist idea, right?
That's the plan.
That's what the plan is. Yeah, I mean, when I wrote my book about the middle class several years ago, 40%
American Restoration.
Thank you. And 40% of kind of working Americans were living paycheck to paycheck. It's 60% now. I mean, where does it end? And there is no end in sight. And I think, you know, the whole comment about inflation being transitory several years ago was a joke. I mean, when you look at the amount of money being pumped into the economy, there is no way that inflation was going to stop. So, yeah, I mean, it's cruel. It's the middle class is feeling it in the most important ways in their life, in their food, in their gasoline, in their housing, in the education of their children. And the places that are really important, and it really hurts. And again, no end in sight.
You can't have a country if you don't have a middle class. You have something completely different. What policies do you think can be best embraced to unshackle the middle class?
Well, I think that there has to be fiscal discipline, first of all. And we don't, you know, like, let's be fair. We haven't seen that with either party.
That's
right.
We
haven't seen it. And the amount of national debt that we have now, any young person right now, I mean, they don't even talk about it. You've got to look up at the national debt and go, what's going to happen to this? Well, somebody is going to pay for that.
Yeah.
Probably not people my age. It's going to be young people, and it's going to be painful. No matter how we do it, it's going to be painful. So I think number two, our whole energy policy, I think it drives everything. Going to drive the cost of food. It's going to drive wages, and to the extent that we have just completely pulled in our horns on energy, that we've allowed our competitors on the international scene to become richer and richer at our expense, and then to our middle class become poor, it's unforgivable. It's unforgivable, and there's no logic whatsoever.
It seems as if it's intentional, that they want us to weaken.
A lot of these things look intentional, don't they? Inflation, what's happening at the border looks intentional. Our energy policy looks intentional. I mean, people don't want to say it, but there's hardly any other explanation.
Yeah, so let's dive deeper into this idea of deficit spending. We are borrowing $1 trillion every 100 years. You have probably a lot of people coming to you wanting to invest in stuff. There are more asset bubbles than I've ever seen. Would you agree with that right now? We have more dollar bills than value.
Yes, I mean, I think you're 100% right. And again, I go back, it's the sort of thing where there is no end in sight. And then you look at the energy policy, that's inflationary as well. You see what's starting to happen again now, right? Gasoline is creeping up again. I don't know if we can drain the strategic petroleum reserve again or not. Yeah. Not exactly what it was meant for, right? Politics. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all of these things are having an effect. And I go back to what you said. One wonders if it's somehow intentional. Are we trying to bankrupt the middle class?
Yes, I believe we are. And not to mention, there's a thing called the Cloward-Piven strategy. We've been talking about it a lot in our program, which was an academic theory in the 60s and 70s. They were communists, and they said, they're American communists. They said the way to destroy America is to have mass migration, build a permanent deep state bureaucracy that overconsumes everything, and then borrow so much money that you can't even fathom it.
Boom.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Whether that's the plan they're using or not, it's completely parallel with that. That's what's happening.
And let's talk, I mean, you talk about in your book, American Restoration, How to Unshackle the Great Middle Class. There is a part on immigration. And we thought it was bad 4 years ago. When you and I started hanging out 5 or 6 years ago, we said this immigration thing's out of control. I mean, it's a full-fledged takeover of the United States of America.
How can you not have millions of people coming in?
And we don't know who they are.
Who they are, where they're going, where they're going to end up, what they plan to do, and look at the disparity and the males, female. It's really there's just nothing good about it. You know, look, who knows? Some of these people are probably well intended. They're looking for a better way of life for their family, but we have to determine that. We have to vet that. No other country in the world has a border like we do, and it's unfathomable.
Yeah, the amount we have 10,000 to 15,000 people a day coming across the southern border. The book is American Restoration: How to Unshackle the Great Middle Class. In addition, Jeff also is with Postmillennial and Human Events and the All-Star team there. And so, talk a little about that. About 30 seconds. All the great work that's being done.
Human Events Media Group includes those two platforms and. We're thrilled with what's happening there. Of course, Jack Posobiec,
yep.
one of your buddies, and
he's live right now. Yeah,
yeah. Libby Emmons does an incredible job as well. Barrett Wilson, I mean Andy Ngo. It's just a great team and so dedicated. Breaking news, finding things that that are important, and we are definitely building something great there.
He is the author of a very important book, American Restoration, How to Unshackle the Great Middle Class. And really, it is it's challenging neoliberalism. And neoliberalism is unlimited mass migration, trade, bringing in as much crap into your country that you don't need. And then finally, reckless foreign wars.
That's right. That's right. And I think we're seeing that now. And the country is now becoming awakened to the fact that we have had, I mentioned this in my book. I used to be, I was a real hawk on foreign policy, driving with my young son. He's probably 14 at the time, and a lot smarter than his father, by the way. And he's very, already kind of politically involved there or engaged. Mm-hmm. And he says, Dad, and he said, our country has been at war ever since I've been kind of politically conscious. It's like we have a war somewhere. He said, I don't know why. I mean, can you imagine right now looking back and having lost a son or a daughter or a brother or a friend in Afghanistan and say, what, why? Why did that happen? And I just think that, again, how our government can engage in whether it's actual physical military intervention, whether we're supplying arms, whatever we're doing, without taking it to the American people and having an end game, What does success look like? No, it's a basic business tenor. Yeah, what does nobody know?
Success looks like endless war. They want endless conflict.
Yeah.
It's
something that's going to be impossible to achieve.
Well, like the liberation of Ukraine, including Crimea, which is pathologically insane.
I think it's going to. It's not in the cards. I mean, it's look. Do we all wish that Russia had not invaded Ukraine?
No,
of course,
it was wrong.
Totally wrong.
That's correct.
But that's a very complicated part of the world. And
but we lied to Russia for years too. We said that NATO wasn't going to move east, and we've antagonized them. It doesn't justify Putin doing that.
I agree, it doesn't.
But we have not been. We pushed Ukraine into this situation.
Well, when you look at foreign affairs and you look at any type of conflict, it's like what you have to look at in sports or in business. You look at your opponent. What's important to them? You try to get in their head. I heard RFK Jr. the other day point out that 1 in 7 Russians died during World War II. So they're a little bit paranoid of Western Europe, you know, again, they've been fighting back and forth in that area for 1,000 years. And I think that we should be spending the war is terrible. What's happened is terrible. But I don't think the Russians are leaving. And they have a powerful military. We should be looking at trying to be the brokers of peace. We should be looking at how can we make this as fair as possible.
Yes.
How can we retain as much of Ukraine as we can?
Yeah.
But are we just going to keep having hundreds of thousands of young people die with no end in sight, Charlie?
Yeah, it's a moral tragedy. And the American government sent Boris Johnson and Tony Blinken to blow up a potential peace deal. We were involved in obliterating a potential peace deal. So the book is American Restoration. A lot of great things happening in Human Events Media, you know, post-millennial. Anything else on your mind, Jeff, that you want to share with the audience, things that you want to make sure you communicate to it?
Well, I think how many times have we heard this is the most important election in our lifetime?
This is the whole one.
This is a very important election.
Yeah.
And I think you only have to look at the border to see that. I mean, that's back to the end game. What is going to be the long term? What are the long-term ramifications of this incredible amount of just unvetted immigration?
Yeah, we don't know.
What's it going to do to the workforce? What's it going to do for crime? What is going to happen? And I think that there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I think the election is the place to do it.
Jeff, you've been a great friend for a while. It is American Restoration, Unshackle the Great Middle Class. We're meeting later to how we're going to take over the world. And I just want to just brag. Jeff is a phenomenal entrepreneur, really smart business mind.
We're
going to have Jeff on more and more, time willing, you know, this election season. And it's not just about the election. This is a question of just very basic principles of, do you want a government that represents you? Do you want an oligarchy, or do you want some form of a people-centered government? And the book is great. It's How to Unshackle the Great Middle Class. It is not a new book, but it's timeless, I have to say. It is actually more applicable now than even at pub date.
Who would have known?
Jeff, thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.